It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, live from the Racing Boys studio here in Kansas City, Missouri. Producer Austin O'Neill helping us out on the show today, as he does each and every day. Always does a great job for us. Got a good show lined up for you. We're going to have our weekly visit with the postman. Steve Post is going to join us. His appearance is brought to you by Sage Fruit. We'll talk to him here in just a little bit. And also, we're going to talk to a longtime friend of the Racing Boys. He used to be the general manager down at Lucas Oil Speedway. He works for XR now. They're out at Bristol doing the live pay-per-view of the dirt races that are going out there this weekend. We're going to talk to Dan Robinson here in just a little bit. Talk about everything that's going on new in his life. So much going on with Dan and his new position out there. Looking forward to talking to him as well. Well, I guess I need to start off by talking about, we're going to talk a little non-racing for just a moment here today. For the people that live in Kansas City, it depends on who you are. Are you happy? Are you sad? Tyreek Hill has been traded from the Kansas City Chiefs to the Miami Dolphins. Are you prepared for life after Tyreek Hill? You guys tell me, what are your thoughts? What do you think? Are you a little ticked off if you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan? I don't know. I don't know what to say. I know one thing. That the 29th overall pick in the first round is not enough for Tyreek Hill. If you're going to trade for Tyreek Hill to another team, then you need to get in the top 10 of the first round picks. Tyreek Hill is so unique in what his abilities and how fast he is and what he does as a receiver. But the Chiefs obviously made an offer to Tyreek Hill for a lot of money. And for whatever reason, Tyreek Hill decided not to take that money. Now, here's the funny thing about it all, right? If you're Tyreek Hill, you still have 1 year left on your deal. Why don't the Chiefs just hang on to him for a year and then next year put the franchise tag on him and force him to stick around another year? You could get two more years out of him if you really wanted to. But the Chiefs have decided to trade the 29th pick of the Miami Dolphins to the Chiefs. Listen, that's not enough, right? Is that enough for Chiefs fans? I don't think so. Austin, what do you think about all this going on today? You're not the biggest Chiefs fan, I know, right? I know that you don't like to watch Chiefs game because you feel if you watch the games, they lose and all that, right? What do you think of getting rid of Tyreek Hill? You think that's a good move, bad move?
Well, you know, I'm not a big sports person in general besides racing. So I do know that he
That's what we love about you the most.
Right. Yeah. You know, I got full focus on one sport, so I got good information for that one area. But, you know, I know he's a good player. I've seen what he's been able to do, and, you know, his relationship with Patrick Mahomes is pretty good on the field. And you know, I think it's a bad call that they lost him because, you know, I mean, there's always somebody better out there, but you got to find that one person. You never know if it's going to be your first shot or you're going to try five more times to find that person. And, you know, I don't want them to get in a position where, you know, they're trying to find somebody to replace them and, you know, and lose that mojo they got. But, yeah, I think they should have just, you know, held on to him for a couple more years at least.
Well, they could have. All they would have had to do is just hang on to him this year because they've got him under contract for another year. That's all they'd have to do. And then they could franchise tag him for the next year and hold him on for another year.
Right.
You could keep him for two more years if you really wanted to.
I'm also kind of surprised to see that, you know, if he did turn down the money from the Chiefs, that he's, you know, wanting to leave a winning team to go to Miami. Now, I don't know what Miami's record is, if they're good, but from the recent years, they're not very good in my eyes. And,
right.
Yeah, I'm just kind of surprised he wants to take a step back to a mid-pack team.
He's going to a losing team that will never win. Why would anybody want to leave the Chiefs and go to a team like the Miami Dolphins?
That's like leaving a ride at Hendrick to go run for the Rick Ware team. You just don't,
it is.
You don't do that.
It's crazy. I guess I'm reading here. Hill went on, and his new extension is in the tune of $120 million. And over $71 million of that is guaranteed money from the Dolphins.
Wow.
$71 million guaranteed.
That's a lot of money.
Oh, my gosh. No wonder the Chiefs let him go. I just don't understand it. And they're trading a bunch of draft picks. I had it here somewhere, and I've lost it. So I'm not sure exactly if this is a win or a lose situation for the Chiefs, but... Like Kirk and Elliot and I were just talking about here just a few minutes ago, everybody can be replaced, right, Austin?
Right.
Do you believe that?
Everybody can be replaced. I know that for fact.
I mean, it doesn't matter who you are. If you think that you can't be replaced, newsflash, you can be. Everybody can be replaced. And I've been saying this for years. I just don't – I mean, I don't know who that person's going to be. There's probably some college athlete out there that they could pick up maybe in the first round or somewhere that's really good. You're going to have two first-round picks. I think what we picked 30th, I think, is what we picked, 29th and 30th. So, if I'm not mistaken, we'll have two picks in a row in the first round.
I mean, you can't really pass up first-round picks, but, you know, you also go back to the fact, like, you know, let's say you get some college students. You don't – You know, yes, they're going to be good because they're in the first round, but how long are you going to spend there kind of fine-tuning them to what you want?
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe they might come in there, they might not gel with the team or, you know, be successful. Now you're just trying to catch them up to pace, and now you're just, you know, throwing time away.
Well, there is some of that truth. There's some truth into what you're saying there for sure. But we'll just have to see. You know, I can't believe that Patrick Mahomes couldn't call up Tyreek and say, "What in the hell are you doing, bud? Why are you leaving? Why are you going somewhere else?
You would think,
why are you going to break up the chemistry that we have here?"
You think that would, you know, probably happen. It might have happened, and you think it would actually work and stay, but who knows? Maybe Tyreek has other visions in his career. Maybe he's getting ready to call it a career and just kind of riding out for a couple of years.
Gosh, I hate it. I hate it as much as anything to see Tyreek go, but as I've stated many times, anybody can be replaced at any time. That's just the way it is. I've been looking. Here is what the Chiefs get in return for their star wideout. They're going to get a first round pick, the 29th overall pick in 2022, the second round pick in 2022, the fourth round pick in 2022. Fourth round pick in 2023 and a sixth round pick in 2023.
So when you say like 2021, is that last year's draft?
No, this year. 2022. They're getting a first, a second, and a fourth round pick in 2022.
Oh, okay.
And then they're getting a fourth and a sixth round pick in 2023.
Okay. I thought you said 2021 there for a second.
I might have said that. Who knows? But that's not a good deal for anybody. And I'm sure the Kansas City fans are just about ready to blow a gasket right now.
You'll see it on Facebook later.
Oh, it'll be all over the place. All right, yeah. Some other big news that's coming down today. The 305 Nationals Devil's Bowl Speedway has been canceled. You read the press release on it, Austin. Give us a little detail on that.
Yeah, so the 305 Nationals, which usually take place in the beginning of March at Devil's Pool Speedway in Mesquite, Texas, it was postponed due to weather to this weekend, which would have been the 24th and 25th of this month, and they just came out this morning with a press release saying that the event has been postponed to a later date or even canceled due to a tire shortage. Now, the RaceSaver 305 Sprint cars run a spec right rear tire, which is the RaceSaver tire.
It's a stamped IMCA 305 tire, right?
Yep, it's what the IMCA RaceSaver 305 is running. You have to run it. And they're having a tire shortage in the nation, and they can't get any tires. And the officials thought it'd be in the best interest of the teams and the officials with the series to cancel the event since they just couldn't get any tires, which I hate to see it this early, but it's just probably going to get worse from here.
Don't you think we're going to run into a bigger issue this year for all series, not just 305s, but don't you see a chance that we could have some tire issues, even in the 410 ranks, 360 ranks, maybe even in modified racing?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about this earlier because I knew you'd ask me that question. You know, you look at like the RaceSaver tires. So the World of Outlaws run an H15 right rear. ASCS runs the medium. And then you have RaceSavers that run the RaceSaver stamp tire. Well, they're mass producing H15s for the Outlaws because all the 410 series runs that same tire. So there's plenty of 410 series out there that can, you know, back up them, you know, producing that many tires. Same with the medium. Now you have your third tier tire, which is your RaceSaver. You don't have a whole lot of, now when I say a whole lot, you know, major touring series, you have a couple that run that tire. So that tire isn't the hottest item. And, you know, that might be, you know, why we're seeing a shortage in just that region. And I think what they should have done or should do in the future is make all sprint car series have the same right rear tire or same spec tire. Mm-hmm. You know, stop trying to source it out to medium, H15, or RaceSaver just because you're just going to limit your supply. Make it one tire and let everybody run it, and that's just going to fix your supply. That's just my theory.
Yeah. Have we heard any issues with the H?
I haven't heard anything. The first tire situation I heard of having an issue was the RaceSaver. So everything else has been all right on supply.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I this could be a real problem this summer.
It could be.
I mean, if you think about it, what if we get in a super tire shortage and racetracks can't get tires for their local competitors? I'm talking about on the local scenes. Mm-hmm. What if they can't get a tire, and next thing you know, they got to shut down because they don't have any tires?
Yeah, it's going to...
Well, hold on a second. What about the price of fuel right now, too? Have you checked on the price of fuel? Is it going up?
So I have a couple of friends that run Late Model Plus, which is, you know, big. Yeah. And late models are USMTS modifieds, and the barrels have went up like... I can't remember. That's what I ran the stock car in 2018. I can't remember how much it was at that point. Let's say it was $400 for a barrel.
Yeah.
It's now like $650 for a barrel.
No kidding.
But methanol, which is... ran in all sprint cars, yep, I can buy for $200 a barrel, where I was buying it 3 years ago in 2019 for $160. So it's only went up $40 in 3 years. So that's not too bad. It's not ridiculous like a $200, you know, spike, you know, with Late Model Plus. But we're just having an issue with diesel prices.
Right. Lloyd Collins got on here, said chemical shortage for Hoosier to make tires. It's going to be a problem for sure. That's what Lloyd Collins, he you know, he's a late model guy, so he would know a little bit about a thing or two.
Yeah, honestly. I bet they're in the same situation we are, you know, with having different compounds and, you know, what's going on there. Back to what I said earlier, I think we just need one compound and just
let everybody run the same tire.
Just let them do that just until we can get going again, you know, until everything opens up, just make it simple on us.
If it's a chemical problem, though, if it's a chemical they use to create to make the tires, that's a whole nother issue.
Right.
Right? I don't know what chemical it might be, but Lloyd says there's a chemical shortage for Hoosier. I'm not sure what that chemical would be, but if you don't have that chemical, then you can't make the tires.
You're right.
Yeah. There's the problem in itself.
I wonder what, like, you know, that's with... Late models, they run all, you know, Hoosier. Sprint cars run all Hoosier. I wonder what American Racer's looking like right now. The only American Racer series I know is USMTS, and I don't know the ins and outs. Maybe Trenton Barry will know tomorrow.
That's a McCrary, isn't it?
I believe so.
Yeah.
But I wonder what their situation looks like, if they're having the same issue, or is it just Hoosier?
Well, you know, we're going to have Trenton Barry on tomorrow.
Yes.
I think it is, right?
We'll ask them tomorrow.
Trenton Barry and Trent Owens, both tomorrow, the Trenton and Trenton show. We'll have that on tomorrow. We'll ask Trenton Barry if they're worried about a tire shortage with the USMTS series. That'd be a good question to ask.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to believe that if, what do they run in USMTS? Do you know?
It's the American Racer.
It is?
Yeah, just the normal tire.
Is it like the IMCA tire?
I think it's pretty close to it, but it's just the American. It's the same tread pattern. It's just the different manufacturer. I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's what that is.
Right. Lloyd said that he's chimed in here. He says, we are only allowing two new tires per event as of now, one left rear, one right rear. And that's probably what it's going to come down to.
That's kind of like what ASCS is doing right now.
Right.
We're only allowed to run now. Granted, this is on the National Tour format. Your regional series can have the option of running passing points, the old style or the new style, which is qualifying. If we do the qualifying format, we're one right rear night. And it has to be stamped. So we are kind of in the same boat. Just depends on where you're at.
Yeah. Well, this is going to be an interesting summer when we have to take a look at it and see what's going to happen here. Because this could be a really, really, really big deal here this summer. So we're going to have to really pay attention to the tire shortage and what's going on around the country and what tracks, what series are having problems getting tires. We'll have to just keep our head on it. And keep an eye out and see what happens. Austin, do you think we're going to have a problem this summer?
I mean, if we're having chemical shortages and we're already starting to see issues with it, I don't want to think this way, and I don't want it to ever go that way, but I think there's a possibility we'll have an issue. I don't know. Maybe it's just a spring deal, and maybe by the summertime something will get fixed, or maybe a shipment was – I don't know. We're hoping for the best here. I know I am.
Have you started buying your tires yet?
Yes.
How many tires do you buy at a time,
well,
Austin?
It just kind of depends. Last year I was just buying them, you know, every night. Just if I race one night, go to the parts trailer and buy a new one. I'm going to try and buy everything a month supply
this
year.
Yeah,
a month out. I put an order in. They're supposed to be delivering here in a couple weeks.
So how many tires do you use in a month? Roughly.
Last year, I put on a new right rear every night. Sometimes I put on a left rear to start the night, a new one. So that was...
Depends on how abrasive the track is, too, right?
Yeah, and I know this year with our new format with ASCS, with them forcing you to run one new right rear, or a same right rear all night long, I'll have to put a new one on. So
yeah.
I know in May when I run six National Tour shows, I'll go through six right rears that night. But my
Not that night.
Well, not that night. That month.
Yeah,
I got a little ahead of myself.
Yeah,
but now I plan on just trying to, you know, keep those as long as I can and go run them at weekly races. I'm just gonna try.
Do
and
you
run
sell as, your used tires to anybody?
I did a little bit last year, but this year they're all mine. I'm not gonna get rid of them until I have to.
Right.
I'm just gonna try and recycle.
Better
them
hang on
I,
to
yeah,
them, right?
Might as well.
I mean, you might as well just pile them up in the garage in case you need something. If for some reason we run out of tires.
Yeah, I didn't build an eight by 30 mezzanine in the shop not to hold anything, so I got plenty of room back there for tires.
Yeah. I just can't believe the Miami Dolphins are making Tyreek Hill the highest paid receiver in the NFL. I'm just blown away by that. I'm just sitting here in shock. I don't know what to think. Lloyd, what do you think? You could care less, right? Frog, what do you think? Anyway, we want to take a break here real quick. We're going to have Steve Post join us here in a minute, the postman. We'll talk everything that's going on in NASCAR, what happened last weekend at Atlanta Motor Speedway. I'll say this about Atlanta. I've thought about it more and more since that race has taken place on Sunday. I hate to say this, because we have a 1.5-mile racetrack here in Kansas City, and I think it's a fabulous racetrack. In fact, I'll say it now. I think it's the best track in 1.5-mile racing, Atlanta Motor Speedway. The second-best racetrack is Kansas Speedway. I'll give it that. I was so intrigued, so excited about watching that race. I couldn't step away from my TV. I was so stoked about watching that race, and listen, I've been telling Kirk this for years. I love pack racing. I love it when cars race in a big, giant pack. I love that. Don't you like that, Austin, when they're all right close to each other?
Yeah, it's pretty
racing
exciting.
In a big pack, yeah? I mean, when they're spread out, it's like the old Atlanta. Guys used to win by 7-8 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing fun about
that. You haven't seen
a
close finish since 2001 with Kevin Harvick and Jeff Gordon.
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll have Steve Post join us. He is the host of Wing Nation. He's also the lead pit reporter for NASCAR's Cup Racing on MRN. He joins us next here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Stay tuned for more of Mostly Motorsports. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Rod End Supply is involved with a variety of motorsports as well as industrial applications with many different types of products. Since 1989, Rod End Supply has provided superior products priced competitively. Whether you're racing at the circle track or drag strip, rock climbing, or going off-road, Rod End Supply has an assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products to keep your equipment moving. Rod End Supply's experienced staff is ready and willing to help you with your needs. Their promise is to continue to provide a superior product with superior service so you can stay in front of the field no matter what it is. To learn more, go to rodendsupply.com.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. And joining us now is a good friend of mine, Just really, man, I enjoy my segment with him every week. Steve Post, the postman, joins us now. Steve, are you feeling better, my brother?
Yeah. I'm feeling great now. I had about a 24-hour window on Monday where I wasn't sure if dead or alive. You know what I mean? But I don't know what it was. I had two other friends, just like a 24-hour stomach virus. And you know, it started to break up on Monday afternoon, and I slept for just about 24 hours straight. And then Monday morning woke up, and I was feeling fine. Or Tuesday morning woke up, and I was feeling fine. So I don't know. It was strange, that's for sure.
There's nothing like sitting at the toilet and blowing chunks, is there, bud?
Oh, dear God. You know, the thing of it is, Scott, I had, like, brutal body ache. I mean, it was like, I felt like, I opened my eyes Monday morning, and I'm laying there in bed, and I'm like, oh, my God. I feel like, you know, I've never been hit by a truck, but I feel like that's what it would feel like. And the only thing that made me move was puking or the other end, you know? I mean,
right.
It was like, it was the only, oh, my God, dude, it was just brutal. I mean, it was bad, but I just stayed asleep, went down on the couch and slept down there. And 2 o'clock started to feel a little bit better. And at 5 o'clock on Monday, the fever broke. And then, you know, then just kind of recover on some sleep. I was good to go. But man, I'll tell you what, there was an 8 hour window of time where it was like, wow, it was bad.
You know, I'm surprised you don't get sick more often, Steve, as many people that you're around all the time, all the people that you interview, the interaction that you have with people when you're at these NASCAR events. I'm just surprised you don't get sick more often, to be honest with you.
I'll be honest with you, too, and I was actually thinking about that Monday night as I was kind of sitting there. I don't recall the last time I've been sick, you know, so, I mean, I don't know whether I've got a strong or healthy immune system or whatever it is. Yeah. Maybe all the dirt tracks back through the years have built up my immune system or whatever it is. I'm very fortunate because I thought about that. You're right. I interact and on the NASCAR side, but on the short track side with my running friends. I'm around people all the time, and I'm relatively speaking, I stay relatively sick free. So I guess it was my turn.
You know, Steve, I think your exercise that you do and doing these 5Ks and as often as you do them, it seems like you do at least one or two every month at least. I think that's probably helps you when it comes to staying healthy a little bit, don't you think?
I believe so. I've gone, you know, not only with running, but doing some weight training, and I'm actually doing yoga, doing some stuff like that, but also trying to eat a little bit healthier whole foods. I'm on a vitamin routine where I take vitamins every day. And I think I was thinking about that Monday night also. And it's like, you know, I don't know. You never know. But I think, and this has been just over the last 3 or 4 years. Yeah. And as I said, Scott, I don't get sick that often. So this was probably the first time that I've been sick since I've been healthier. I'm certainly not where I need to be as far as health goes, but I'm healthier than I was 3 years ago or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And I do think that was part of the quick recovery. I mean, I don't think it hurt me. That's for sure.
Well, more people should take a page out of your book, and I include myself, that I need to do better at taking care of myself because I'm getting to be old, and I need to take better care of myself. So that's kind of why I got off the road, because, you know, that lifestyle of traveling up and down the road, eating at gas stations at night after the races are over and whatnot, it's just not a good lifestyle.
Dude, I'll tell you, it is not. And I ran into it this past weekend. I went Friday night. I went to Hickory Motor Speedway to watch the past Super Late Models, Asphalt Super Late Models. Man, they had a whale of a show. Great show. I come out of the racetrack at 9:30, 10 o'clock on Friday night, getting ready to drive home. And sure enough, before I got on the interstate.
Oh, did we lose him?
I think. Hold into a convenience, do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's that road lifestyle is I do well on my weekends. One of the things we do is immediately when we land, we go to a grocery store. So I buy some healthy snacks for the room and things like that. but it's the travel, and like you're talking about, the drive to races, you know, and that's all you did was drove you up and down the road there with racing boys. It's brutal and it's difficult. You stop in and it's like, I'm just stopping in to get a water. Well, water turns into a soda, then a soda turns into some chips, and chips turn into, well, I've got something salty, I need to have something sweet. And the next thing you know, it's 10:30 at night, you're riding down the road, you got a ho-ho in one hand, you got a freaking bag of potato chips in the other hand, and you're sipping on a Coca-Cola, and it's like, it's crazy, it really is. So the road lifestyle is tough, it really is. And I think about it, and I run into it with racers all across the country. I stopped at that convenience store out of Hickory. As I was pulling out, there was a race hauler pulling in. I mean, it just is the way that lifestyle is, that's for sure.
Well, you know, my biggest weakness was peanut M&Ms.
Oh, dude, you and me both.
I'll buy the big giant bag of peanut M&Ms and lay it in my console. Yep. And if I know I got to drive for 10 hours, I just eat that whole bag in that 10 hours. Just reach down in that bag, grab two or three at a time, and by the time at the end of my run, that bag is gone. And that's,
I celebrate. I celebrate when I don't buy the king size bag.
That's awesome.
Now, that's how bad you and me, peanut M&Ms. That's my weak one too.
Yeah,
I mean, and like on the rare occasion, I go into a convenience store, it is amazing restraint when I get the regular size bag of peanut M&Ms. I mean, I usually get the share size, you know, and here's the thing.
That's never
been. I've got a long-standing history I've never shared with anybody.
Steve, that share size is not big enough.
No. Well, not for a long road trip. I'm talking getting back and forth to the office.
Steve, before we talk a little cup racing, I got to talk to you. Me and Austin, we talked about this a little bit earlier in the show. We're really concerned about tire consumption this year and having the availability of tires. They just canceled the 305 Nationals down at Devil's Bowl because they're worried about having enough tires for that event down there. Do you think we're going to get into a spot this year to where we're going to have to really worry about the tire availability from Hoosier?
Yeah. I was talking to Austin Lloyd, who's one of the announcers up at Houston, or up at Jackson. I was talking to him today on another project I'm working on, and he was like, holy cow. And I'm like, what's the matter? And he said, they just canceled the 305 Nationals down at Delhi. He told me the news on that.
Yeah.
And my initial thought was, wow, that was soon. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we're in March.
Right.
We're not all up and running.
Right.
You know, I mean, there are more tracks not running yet than are running.
Mm-hmm.
This is very concerning that I thought, you know, when we get to June, July, August, when everybody is running and we get through a stretch where, you know, where it dries out and we don't have rain, I thought, well, we might see something. This is very concerning that we're running into this in March when we're just getting started on the season. It does not bode well. It seems to me, and I'll bet you red flags have gone up at every series, every sanctioning body, every track in the country when that news broke this morning, because, you know, I'm all right. Everyone's all right. Well, the bottom line is you're being told you're all right.
But it's
Are
not
you
all
right.
right? Yeah.
Are those tires in your tire shed? Are those tires at the racetrack? That is scary to have that happen in the month of March.
I think a lot of the teams are probably going to buy in bulk. And that's gonna make it short for some of the other teams, right? Some of the teams are going to go in there and say, all right, this Hoosier dealer's got X amount of tires. I'm going to buy all those tires that I can so I make sure that I have plenty of tires, because, you know, there's people out there that have the money to be able to do that, right? So they buy as many tires as they can, and that's going to make it short for the other teams that can't afford to go out and buy a bulk of tires. That's what I'm worried about.
I think you're 100% right, and I think that's going to happen. That's probably, I'm telling you, the phone lines are probably burning up as we speak.
No doubt.
You know, with this, and the well-funded teams are going to have tires, but the smaller teams, that's the, you know, the teams that can't go out and buy 20 tires right now.
Exactly.
You know, I just think that, and that further you know, the shortage gets even worse at that point as well, because you got some teams back at their shop, they got 20 or 30 tires, you know, well, those are 20 or 30 tires that are not at the racetrack to be used this coming Friday or Saturday night.
Right, right. Seth Bergman.
I agree with you. I agree with you.
Yep. This last weekend, we watched the Lucas Oil ASES National Tour run down there at Spring Nationals, the 49th annual Spring Nationals at Devil's Bowl Speedway. Seth Bergman comes out on top. I've said this about Seth Bergman. If Seth Bergman really wants to concentrate and run for the national championship, and he has, last year he had a string of bad luck, crashed car, tore up a lot of parts, blew up a couple motors, got behind the eight ball when it comes to parts, had to pull off the tour. He went and helped Garrett Williamson with his team as kind of a, I don't know, I would say maybe a crew chief type person, and tried to help him with his team. And in reward for that, now that team, Garrett Williamson's car owner, is going to spend some money on Seth Bergman so he can run the full national tour this year. I kind of feel like Seth is one of those guys. You look at some of the drivers that run there, Dylan Westbrook, Matt Covington, Blake Hahn, Seth Bergman. Those are you guys that you know that have been on the national tour for a long time, and they're capable of winning the championship. I think Seth kind of planted his flag a little bit on Saturday night. Do you?
Yeah, I agree with you totally on that. I think that, I think when you look at those guys, you look at the four particularly that you mentioned with Matt, with Dylan, with Blake, and with Seth, I think the first and foremost thing is that they've got enough years under the belt that they know how to run a tour.
Yeah.
You know, they know how to budget, they know how to manage, they know how to work in Walmart parking lots. They know how to run a tour and how to do it and not get themselves beat down. Now, bad luck is going to happen, you know, and mm-hmm. Seth had some of it last year, and who knows? So someone, you know, Dylan or Matt or Blake might run into a stretch of bad luck, and we'll see how they recover or how short they can keep that downtime. But when you look at a guy like Seth, you know, his bad luck is out of the way as well for a year or two. And
yeah.
So he is so capable. What a talented race car driver he is.
Sure.
He is an amazing talent. And I think that knowledge that, and you know, you gain knowledge what he learned last year watching, you know, being Garrett Williamson's crew chief. What does that bring to the table, let alone some sponsorship and some funding to the table? So I think you're right. I think he did. He kind of established that, okay, I'm in this. I know it's early, and I know there's a lot of racing, and I know we're headed over to Little Rock this weekend, and we'll see how everyone fares over there against that Memphis crew or that Arkansas, Memphis, Tennessee crew. But I just I think it was a salvo across the board that Seth's going to be someone we need to keep an eye on all year long.
I think maybe one of the biggest stories coming out of Devil's Bowl was Saturday night. Listen, I'm not going to mince words here. That track was rubbered up before they went out on the racetrack, and they all knew they had to start up towards the front to have a chance to win. Bergman started on the pole. That gave him the best chance to win. Friday night wasn't like that at all. Wayne Johnson picks up a win, hadn't had a win in 2 years, steps back to the Lucas Oil ASES National Sprint Car Tour, picks up the win on the prelim night down at Devil's Bowl. It was good to see Wayne in victory lane, wasn't it?
Yeah, we had Wayne on Wing Nation yesterday, and I actually had Wayne on my podcast called The Post Office earlier this year. Wayne was my first guest because, you know, Scott, you and I are two of a kind. We love John with Wayne Johnson.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it goes from a serious discussion about the sports to busting chops to talking about ex-wives to, you know, to talking about kids to talking about, you know, we all have daughters. It goes the gamut with Wayne, and I love getting to visit with him. And so I had him on my podcast, and we talked about the fact that he hadn't won a race in so long.
Yeah.
And how he needed to get back to A, having fun racing, and B, winning a race. Well, lo and behold, he goes right into Devil's Bowl, very first night of Lucas Oil ASCS National Tour, and puts it on the field and gets the win. And we talked to Wayne yesterday on our Wing Nation program, and he's going to run, I think he's going to run Little Rock this weekend. He's going to do that. But then he's going to move west and catch up with the World of Outlaws as they run out in New Mexico and then on up into Missouri, I guess, or wherever they go next weekend. And he said, that just shows how good the World of Outlaws are, that you can jump back to another tour and go right out and win the race. And he said, now I'm going to go back and run a couple races with the World of Outlaw with the confidence of knowing that I can win. you know, he even joked around and said people on Twitter are calling him B-Main Wayne.
Yeah.
You know, with his World of Outlaw days. He wasn't B-Main Wayne on Friday night. He was Victory Lane Wayne on Friday night.
Yeah.
And so he's, I think the design of what they're doing, the plan of what they're doing, having fun, not getting roped into a points battle, not getting roped into having to be anywhere, I think this is going to serve him well. And I'll be anxious to see how he does, not only this weekend over in Little Rock with the National Tour, but then how he does when he races some 410 races as the months unfold.
It's so funny that you had him on yesterday. We had him on our show yesterday as well. It was a busy day for Wayne yesterday doing interviews, it sounds like.
We go out and win races and see what happens.
Yeah, you know what we talked about? You talk about getting off topic a little bit. We talked a little bit about his injury that he received in 2010. I was there that night when he nearly lost his leg up there at Grays Harbor. He hopped Shane Stewart's wheel. The torque tube got him, and that was a horrific wreck. And to be honest with you, that was a bad weekend altogether. Because that was the same weekend that we lost Tyson Perez when Travis Rylett and him were fooling around off the racetrack, and Tyson got burned, and he lost his life, and we know that Travis Rylett got burnt pretty bad as well, and that was just a terrible weekend for us with the Lucas Oil ASES National Tour up there that weekend. Tyson Perez was a cool dude, man. I really got to know the guy. There right before his passing, he was such a cool dude, and full of enthusiasm. He was just a great guy, man. It was a tragic loss to lose him during that weekend. But that was a terrible story for Wayne. We were talking about what the Steve King Foundation did for him and how much they meant to him, getting him through that process. You know, I'm on the board of the Steve King Foundation, and, they're such a great organization. They're there for all of sprint car drivers in time of need, whenever they have a problem off the track or on the track.
Yeah, that is a wonderful organization. I've gotten to know those people. I've met them out at Knoxville. We've had them on the stage with us doing Wing Nation. And I actually ran 2 years ago. I did a 5K when they were doing them all remote. I did a 5K for the Steve King Foundation. And right. I just love their heart. You know, I
for
just
sure.
love the fact that what's your problem and how can we help? And I talked to Sherry Hodnett. She was raving about him after she lost Greg a few years ago, and just how sincere, how nice they were, how much they were able to help her with that. And it's just a wonderful organization. And I think I've actually had that same conversation with Wayne. I know the first time, I was not aware of that. We were in the pits at Knoxville, and all of a sudden he said, "That's when I hurt my ankle." I said, "When did you hurt your ankle?" And he told me the story, and I was like, "Oh my God. I mean, that's a horrific, horrific injury." And I think that's maybe where we talked about the Steve King Foundation and what they do. So, you know, Wayne has just been one of those guys that if it's good, it's happened to Wayne. If it's bad, it's happened to Wayne. And, I love that he carries on, but at times when you need folks like the Steve King Foundation to get you to that next phase so those good days can come back. And so, Wayne's one of my favorite people. And, you know, I could chat with him every week.
For sure.
Wayne's World, you know?
Wayne's World. That's correct. All right. Let's break down Atlanta, man. I said it a little bit earlier in the show, you know, I'm pretty fond of my 1.5 mile track here at Kansas Speedway. As far as I'm concerned, up until last weekend, Kansas Speedway produced some of the best 1.5 mile racing, intermediate track racing there is out there, because you can run from top to bottom, everywhere in between. But nothing got me giddy more than watching that race at Atlanta last weekend. That was fantastic.
That was wild stuff, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, what struck me about it is, and just following along with it and watching the race, it was like it was super speedway racing, but at warp speed, like in fast motion.
Right.
You know, because it was a mile and a half track. What they did on a 2.5 or 2.66 mile track at Daytona and Talladega, they were doing on a mile and a half track.
Crazy.
And they couldn't get away from each other. So it was fascinating to watch. It was interesting to watch. It was a little strange to watch at times, because you're looking at the imagery around Atlanta, and it's just different. but they really put on a show, and that pack racing is always wild. And so, you know, it breaks us to, you know, what happens as we go forward. So I'm going to be fascinated to see, you know, because when we look at Las Vegas and Auto Club Speedway, we had pretty good races on those traditional intermediate tracks. So I'm really anxious to see what happens when we get out there to Kansas. You're right. Kansas race is so good. What's this new car going to race like at Kansas?
Right.
We'll
doubt.
See. It might put on a whale of a show. What's it going to be like at Charlotte for the 600? Then we go to Texas for the All-Star race, or we go to Texas for the All-Star race and then the 600. So, I'm anxious to see what this thing looks like across the board, but boy, what we had at Atlanta was just wild down there for sure.
Yeah, it was. You know what I like more than anything? I'm starting to see some of the smaller teams work their way up into the top 10. You look at Ross Chastain. No disrespect to Kurt Busch, but that's a smaller team, right? Right? Corey LaJoie, Chris Buescher. Right. You look at Justin Haley. He ran 11th. In that race, and he didn't even have his crew chief Trent Owens with him that weekend. So I enjoy watching some of these smaller teams work their way up in the top 10. How about you?
We're at a neat spot in the sport. We really truly are, Scott, because of this. And I think the one that I'm really watching is Trackhouse Racing. Ross Chastain and even Daniel Suarez, his teammate there. They've had some good runs. Look, Daniel about won Auto Club Speedway a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he went up there and tugged on Superman's cape, got right alongside of Kyle Larson in the last few laps. I thought he was going to win the thing, taking it off from Larson, for Pete's sake.
Yeah.
That team, and Ross talked about it. I don't know if it was after Vegas or after Phoenix, after one of those races. Ross said, I want to get to the point where you're no longer shocked that I'm running for wins.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, every week that cat's up front. I mean, and he keeps doing what he's doing. We're going to get to that phase. And oh, by the way, you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to get wins too.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
That is one team that is really doing well, really fun to watch. I agree with you. Justin Haley, what he has done. Look at Ricky Stenhouse Jr. with the JTG Doherty team.
Right.
And at one point during that race, I'm like, oh, my God, you know, Ricky's going to win this race. And then they had the tire woes that seemed to rear its head a couple times there. But it's funny because there seems to be this sense of that. There seems to be the teams that are doing it. Yet when we get to the end of the day, Hendrick Motorsports has 3 wins already.
That's true.
So
that's true.
As much as we have the success, we still have the same. We still have some of the same old, same old. And by the way, the driver who hasn't won at Hendrick Motorsports is named Chase Elliott.
Crazy.
And we're going to a road course this race. He's awful good at road courses.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, Steve, we appreciate you taking the time to join us each and every week. It's all brought to you by Sage Fruit. We want to thank those guys for allowing you to come over here and be a part of our show each and every week. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. We're glad you're feeling better, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday. Okay, bud?
Sounds good. We'll talk to you next Wednesday. This weekend, I'm off from COTA, but I'm going to see World of Outlaw Late Models down at the place your mama warned you about, Cherokee Speedway. So I'm excited about that. But we'll break down COTA and everything else next week here on Motorsports. Look forward to it, Scott.
That'd be great. Thank you, Steve.
You got thanks.
There you have it. Steve Post, the postman, joining us on the show. Let's bring in Dan Robinson right now from XR. Dan, how you doing, my friend?
I am doing great, Mr. Chris. How are you?
I'm doing just peachy, bud. I'm just doing peachy. Not as peachy as you, because you're at Bristol and you're watching dirt track racing. How's that going for you?
It is going fantastic. We had a Monday night practice that went really well, and a super night of racing last night. Tonight we had just a little rain delay to get started this morning, but we're getting ready to hit the track at 6 o'clock Eastern time. So we're wide open, ready to roll.
Dan, tell everybody about your new gig. And, you know, everybody knows that you're with Lucas Oil for so long, so many years, but now you're with XR. Tell us about that organization and kind of the backstory of that place.
Well, XR has long been a streaming property, and they have done a lot of big races. Even back in the day, they did East Bay and did some Lucas Oil late model stuff for, you know, at the time, and have done IMCA races. They've done a lot of streaming things over the years, and as they streamed the Duel in the Desert, they became the promoter of that event a couple years ago, and through their relationship with Speedway Motorsports, they have become more ingrained with them, and Moved on to do the Bristol event last year and did some races at Texas last year. And just all went really well. So this year they decided to go all in and have more races, not only at those properties, but we added Charlotte and then some other events like Stuart, Iowa, Belleville High Banks, and even Superior, Wisconsin, All-Tech Raceway. And as I got in the event business, the super late model was really important to Barry. And so Barry started, Barry Braun is the owner of the company, and him and his team started the XR Super Series, which is a supplemental series spanning, you know, pretty high dollar races across the country. Yep. And our first one of those events is this Friday night.
Man, oh man. I was in this business for a long time, and I talked to you a little bit earlier today. It was time for Racing Boys to get out of this business. You know, we started it a long time ago, and we're a small company. But the streaming industry is really getting competitive nowadays, isn't it, Dan?
Yeah, it really is. And because there's so much streaming and so many relationships built with different properties, it's not like an XR can, at this point, go stream a Lucas Oil Late Model race or a World of Outlaws race. They have, you know, their own properties in place that handle that. So Barry decided to start with his team, the XR Super Series, and do more of his own events. And as his company grew from last year in January, he had 4 employees, and this year he has, you know, he's up to 15. I'm number 15, so we really needed somebody to lead the operation and the event side. And my background just fit perfect with what he was looking for and what I was looking for. So it's been just a great match so far.
Yeah. Well, who would have ever thought you were? I mean, obviously you had experience because of your involvement with Lucas Oil Productions and their background and everything. What do you think the future is of streaming? Do you? I got to ask you this question. Some people think it's not good for the sport. Some people think it's good for the sport. What's your opinion on it?
Well, I think if it's utilized correctly, it is. You know, there's two ways to look at it. It can hurt the sport if it's not done right and done well. I mean, obviously, the use of the streaming is an important element to bring people to the racetrack, to bring a racetrack like Bristol Motor Speedway to life. Yeah. To people that might not otherwise be able to travel to it, you know, and looking into the future, the next year, they're like, man, that was so cool on watching on the stream. I want to go there next year. And, you know, if we can build the fan base and do it right, it has a great advantage. If some of the other streaming companies or different people, if they're not going the extra mile and doing it well and doing it right, they don't promote the sport in a way that brings people to the track. And ultimately, that can hurt the promoter. But we see it. You know, for us, we're doing both ends of it. We're doing the streaming side of it, and we're putting on the event. So we have an extreme vested interest for both sides of our programs to do well.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Well, Dan, I know that you have a meeting you need to get to, and we appreciate you taking the time. How can people watch on XR? If they want to watch tonight's action at Bristol, how can they do that?
There's really a couple ways you can do it. You can log on the web at racexr.plus.plus. Or you can go to, you know, a typical Android, iPhone, Roku, Fire TV, or Apple TV, and just download the XR Plus app. We only have a monthly subscription, so you can get on there and test, you know, tip your feet in the water this month and try Bristol, see how you like it, and you're not committed to any long-term yearly contract. So great way to get started this week at Bristol.
Yeah. Well, Dan, we hope that you'll touch base with us from time to time this summer and check in with us and let us know what's going on over at XR.plus, and we'll just keep in touch with you this summer. How's that?
That sounds great. Thank you for having me, Scott. It's great to talk to you again.
It's always been a pleasure, Dan. We'll talk to you a little bit later. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. There you have it, Dan Robinson joining us here on the show. I guess I'm going to have to watch a little XR.plus tonight. Austin, you watched some last night, didn't you?
Yeah, I watched a little bit. I knew they were racing. I just didn't know what time. And I watched the sport mod last bit of the sport mod feature and first part of the factory stock feature. And should be a pretty good show this week. We got a whole week of racing to back it up again next week, and then to back it up again for the third week with sprint cars.
Now, did you tell me that they only had 22 A mods there last night?
Yes, they did.
Do I need to say it again? A-Mod Racing is freaking dying on the vine.
You know, compared to their car counts last year.
What did they have last year? Do you know? Did you look it up?
Let me look at Race Pass should have it, but man, they had a bunch of cars last year. Unless they broke it up into individual nights, then they might be safe, but I think they didn't do that.
Yeah. Well, I hate to keep beating the old drum about the cost of AMON racing, but it's just getting ridiculous. You know, when you got to buy an AMOD, it costs $35,000. It doesn't have a shock, a motor, shocks, motor, or transmission in it. It's too much money. You know, when I first started watching modified racing at Riverside, and in fact, Riverside Stadium was the first racetrack outside of the state of Iowa to have IMCA modified racing. Larry Castor was running the racetrack at the time. My all-time favorite promoter, Larry Castor. Those cars were about $500.
Wow.
With a motor and everything, you know.
Jeez, what year was that?
79, 80.
Wow.
Yeah. But as time went on, people started pushing the envelope a little bit more and a little bit more. And then we started seeing the purses go up at these races a little bit more and a little bit more. And as I've said many times in the past, when you start pushing the purse up, and you start paying more money to these guys to win, that brings out the professional racers, and that's what drives up the cost. I if it was me, I wouldn't want to see any races pay over $5,000 to win. None. Not any race pay over $5,000 to win. That would keep the professionals out of it. You don't agree with me, Austin?
I mean, it depends on what level you're at. Now, a local level, then, no, I don't think you should pay that much.
Just at the local level, though.
Yeah. I think your max should be a couple grand, if that.
On the local level?
Yeah.
Yeah. But nobody pays $2,000.
No.
Who pays $2,000 to win?
Nobody. I know Lakeside Speedway pays like $1,000 to win modifieds.
Well, they paid $1,000 out at Central Missouri Speedway, but they quit doing that and they dropped the class.
Yeah, $750 to win at Lucas
Oil. The home of the Mighty Modifieds, by the way.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure mighty to me.
Yeah, yeah. They're not so mighty anymore. All right. Frog Hall said it was 1979 when they brought the IMCA Modifieds. He said 1879. I don't think it was quite 1879, Frog.
I mean, unless you're racing Amish buggies around there.
Right, for sure.
Amish buggies sanctioned by IMCA.
Yeah. Man, we got a pretty good show lined up for tomorrow, don't we?
Yeah, it's the T show on Thursday.
It's the TNT show.
On a Thursday.
We're going to be talking a little USMTS racing. I'm curious to talk to Trenton about the tire issue and if they're going to feel like they're going to have a tire issue over there on the USMTS side of things. USRA, USMTS. I got a feeling that if they're going to have a problem just like everybody else, don't you think?
Unless they're getting different chemical from a different source. Now, if it's the same process as Hoosier, they'll have a problem. If it's not, they shouldn't have a problem, but we'll find out.
Yeah. I don't know. I sure hope we don't get into this problem where we have to worry about tires all summer long and then tracks are starting to close down because they don't have any tires. But I really believe that there's a possibility that that could happen. And, man, to be honest with you, these local tracks don't make enough money anyway. If people think that local promoters are getting rich by promoting races, they're wrong. They don't make that much money. In fact, local promoters, to be honest with you, the risk is far worse than the reward. You have to put up $15,000, $20,000 for a night. And if you don't make it, you're going to have to pull out of your pocket. I've had to do it. I've promoted roughly about 15 races in my day. And only one race did I lose money. And I lost money, and it cost me $7,500 out of my pocket at the end of the night.
Mm.
You think that was fun writing that check?
No.
No, it wasn't. But yeah, I have to take a little bit of responsibility for that loss, too. I booked it on graduation night at US 36.
Oh, yeah.
Don't do that out in the country.
No, don't. No, that's no.
Don't ever do that out in the country.
Or Friday night during football season.
Oh, yeah. High school football.
Yes.
Yeah. No, you don't want to do that either. You want to promote a race, Austin?
No.
You want to get in there and throw some money around?
I do not. The money I have has been sourced to one source, and it will not come from that source.
It's just going to that race car.
Yes, it is. Anymore, I need to have all of it going there.
Yeah. Is your dad in town?
No, he's in Wichita.
He is?
Yep, left last night.
Oh, he did. He drives about everywhere, doesn't he?
He did. He had some coworkers pick him up, so I don't know what kind of...
Carpooling!
Yeah, I don't know what kind of situation they got going on this weekend, but he's being chauffeured around.
He is not going to like that.
I don't know.
He is not going to like somebody else driving him around.
I don't know. I think he can sit there and listen to his...
Does your mom drive when your mom and dad are together, or does your dad drive?
No, dad drives.
Yeah. Rightly so.
I'll be honest. I hate when other people drive me around.
Oh,
It makes me sick.
Ask Kirk Elliott. Kirk, am I a good backseat driver?
I'm an awful one, I can tell you that.
No, all I do is bitch about everything that Kirk does when he drives. When I ride with Kirk, all I do is piss and moan.
Maybe we should ride together, Scott.
No, you wouldn't like riding. Yeah.
I don't like your music, so.
Yeah, you wouldn't like my music.
You wouldn't like mine either.
Oh, no, I'd probably like some of yours.
No, you wouldn't. No, don't. You wouldn't like it.
What, hip-hop type stuff?
It's far from hip-hop. It's like hip-hop, rap, and just... It's 2022 music.
But you don't have any idea how wide the range of music that I like. You have no idea.
It's a lot wider than mine, so I'll take your word on it.
I listen to everything. Everything. I love it, man. I'm a music guy. Doesn't matter what it is. All right, I want to thank everybody for tuning in on the show tomorrow or today. I want to remind you to tune in tomorrow at 12 noon Central Time here on Mostly Motorsports. It's going to have a good show. We're going to be talking USMTS with Trenton Owens. We'll talk to him about what's going to take place down at King of America this weekend. They cancel practice tonight, right, Austin? And they're going to practice tomorrow right before they start the race.
Tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah.
If the weather holds up, it's still raining here in Kansas City.
You know,
I checked my rain gauge when I got home after yesterday's show.
How much?
Inch and a half.
Really?
Inch and a half in Kearney, Missouri.
It's going to need to quit raining here pretty quick here in Kansas City. Or I don't know if it's raining in Humboldt right now. But if it is, it needs to quit pretty quick. Because if not, they're going to get themselves in a situation down there, I think. You?
It is not raining in Humboldt.
It's not?
Actually, it just stopped raining here in Kansas City. So
we
might have a clearing for a little bit.
Oh, that'd be good. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for tuning in to the show. We're going to do it all over again tomorrow, 12 noon Central Time. It's Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We want to thank our guests today, Steve Post, Dan Robinson, for joining us on the show. Tomorrow, it will be Trenton Barry and T.O., Trent Owens, the crew chief of Justin Haley. He will join us tomorrow, Cup crew chief, longtime friend of the Racing Boys. So it's going to be a good show tomorrow. We hope that you'll join us. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Mostly Motorsports.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.